bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today's show, my friends, will be focusing on the gift of motherhood, one of the greatest gifts in the world, no doubt. And we have a guest who is a mother of 11 children. She is a wife and a true dedicated mother for the pro-life movement here in Bucks County. Her name is Christina Bogdan. And Christina, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Joe. Glad to be on.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, no doubt. And but we've had Tom on, your husband, several times, and he has a very interesting story. So today I thought we would get into some of the great challenges that you have as a mother of 11. Let's go back to when you were, just growing up in high school. And did you ever think that you would be the mother of 11 children?
No, that's a great question, because I just have one sibling, my brother, who's actually, he had passed away a couple years ago. So, yeah, I just, the two of us growing up, but I had two really close friends. One, they were a family of seven, and the other one was a family of eight, and I spent all my time at their houses. I thought, wow, this is amazing. And I would talk with their mothers, and I would just love to watch them, and just, you know, it was just always something going on. It was just so exciting. And I thought, this is great, you know. So that was like a good positive experience, you know, just to see how that all took place. It was just so different, you know, from my house. I have wonderful parents I'm still blessed to have. But it was a very different dynamic, you know, to see how these larger families, you know, interacted. And, you know, it was neat. It was really neat. So no, I had never anticipated that I'd be so blessed.
Yeah. And that's, just a wonderful, blessing to have 11 children, you know, is God's calling, and he calls us to be fruitful and multiply. And we like to get that out into the airwaves here, because, you know, one of the things we see, you know, in our culture today is the opposition to God's word, God's calling. You know, he calls us to, as a man, to leave his mother and father and to join his wife. And the two become one flesh, and in the context of a marriage, they are fruitful and multiply. And so, and you've done that, and you and Tom really are blessed, and no doubt there are challenges. What is the number one challenge that you have in mothering 11 children?
I think now that most of them, I have about six that are out of the house now. So the challenge to me, my biggest thing, my biggest worry is, you know, the ones that are no longer home, just, you know, what is their spiritual life? What is their faith life? You know, you talk to them, you could talk to them, you know, even every single day, but you're still not sure. Like, you know, to sit and have a conversation to kind of, you know, talk with them and see where they are, you know, because I know I was at a way different place than my children are, you know, at their ages now. I was married at 21. I had my first daughter when I was 22 and a half. You know, by the time, you know, our oldest daughter is 31. She's not married yet. But by the time I was 31, I had, you know, several children. So it's a whole different thing growing up, you know, that I had, like, my, you know, I was kind of still very young when I became a mother and got married young. So it's definitely different for them. So I do worry, because I had a little bit different. And as much as I've done for them and my husband as well, just, you know, Catholic education and being, you know, praying at home. And I do the rosary every night with the kids. So all those things, and you're still trying to, you know, constantly instilling in them. And, you know, but it's sometimes it's just, you know, they might go off to college, they might study abroad, and they get different ideas. And if they're on social media, like they're, you know, they get totally different ideas sometimes then. And I think sometimes they're blinded. So that's my biggest struggle sometimes, is keeping the young ones that are still home, just being aware of what their struggles are, because it's very different than the older ones. But still with the older ones, just trying to make sure to remind them, like I sent out usually a daily prayer text to our whole group, you know, all the kids that are, you know, one big family group chat, and just a little prayer reminder. And I broke it up, that every day we pray for two or three family members every single day. So like, say today's Monday, Mondays we pray for our daughter Catherine and our other daughter, Juliana. So then, you know, another day we'll pray for, you know, two more children. So it's like every day it's like they're, you know, let's, as a family, let's at least pray for each other. But just it's a struggle though, because there's, like I said, there's so much. There's just so much that they're bombarded with.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And, you know, on that line, the challenge for parents and grandparents, you know, is competing with the, you know, the agnostics, the atheists, the LGBTQ community, Hollywood, Wall Street, and so many other things on television, tablets, on our phones. And the kids are drawn away from the faith very often. And certainly in education, they're very, very busy with college and schoolwork, sports, hobbies, friends, girlfriends, boyfriends. It's all out there. And, you know, and it's always been there. So, you know, it's always been that great challenge. But today, maybe more than ever, do we see, you know, such a liberal culture that has an impact on our own kids. And so one of the great things that we try to do is bring our kids back to God. How do we do that, you know, successfully? And that's one of the great challenges for the bishop in our diocese of Trenton, New Jersey. You know, we're concerned about, you know, how do we bring the kids back to God? Because we see them drawn away in so many ways, so many directions from so many people, sometimes family, sometimes friends, sometimes a boyfriend, a girlfriend. And, you know, that's one of the great challenges for us all. So as a mother of 11, who has seven daughters and four sons, and I believe you just had your first grandchild, Scarlett Francis.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So and, I'm super blessed.
And how did you feel at that moment when the baby was baptized in the church with all of your kids and your first grandchild?
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. It was just yesterday. We were just, it was just so joyful, but it was just, it was so real. It was so different that it was a grandchild and not one of our own children. And that everybody was there together. And, you know, when they, as my one daughter was the godmother and my son-in-law's brother was the godfather, but just, you know, they're going through almost like their baptismal promises again. They're saying things, repeating, I do and I believe. And all. And that's such a wonderful thing. And not just for them, but for all the people around to hear that, you know, that this is what, you know, just the sacrament of baptism. It's so beautiful. And I think just for everybody to just witness, you know, to be a witness there, you know, as this little baby's being baptized. So I think that was, to me, was like, what a gift, but also like it was like an almost like an eye opener for those that maybe that were away from the faith, you know, or don't realize the importance of it, you know. And I think that there's so much going on, as you just mentioned too, that if people really knew, like, how much God loved them, they wouldn't want to offend him in any way. Mm. And I just don't think people realize it.
Yeah, and that, you touched my heart right there, because I tell you, you know, in my daily walk, I have a lot of different situations that I try to help people with. And, you know, many times people don't know how much God loves them. We've tried to bring that out on the show, you know, especially our last program. We're talking about following the footsteps of St. Paul, who talks about thanking God, taking the time to thank God for all of the blessings that we take for granted, the gifts, the graces, the blessings that, you know, we have. And very often we just don't take them seriously, and we take God for granted. And, you know, it's just amazing. But you touched me right there, Christina, and I appreciate that, you know. And I want to just take a moment to thank your husband, Tom. While he came on our program several times, and we've discussed his background, you know, and his transition into a godly state, a godly man, if you will, and following in the footsteps of other people who have made that transition, you know. And it's a powerful thing, having that conversion of heart and of mind. And so if we go back to you, were you always on board with, you know, the Lord's way of doing things, or was it something different for you as well?
Yeah, I was really blessed, because I feel like I've always walked with the Lord, like, my whole life. My parents, just really good, faithful, and, you know, definitely weekly mass goers. And any time that there was, like, any special feast day or whatever, we were there. And my mother's Italian, and we would always go to Italian festivals, you know, religious festivals and things. And my grandmother, she would pray multiple rosaries a day, so she was just a great example, you know, to me. And even as a teenager, my mother would have rosaries. She'd have friends and some family come each week, so I was exposed to other people that, you know, that were younger than my parents, but, you know, like young adults, but, you know, married and had children. And what a great witness they were, that they were so God, you know, loving God, praying the rosary, and living their lives and raising families. So that was just a huge, that was a huge thing for me. And also, when you mentioned the pro-life movement, I don't want to forget to mention, I went to St. Basil's Academy, and we had a speaker come one day for, like, a pro-life event. And, I think her first name is Molly, and I know her last name could be Molly Kelly, but she gave such an amazing speech about pro-life, and that really put it in my heart to be open to whatever God had for me as you know, eventually a wife and a mother. And she was just amazing. And I was probably only maybe, you know, 16 years old at the time. But I was like, wow, this woman just speaks with such conviction and joy. You know, I thought, wow, if people could just see, you know, what, you know, it's not being happy. It's being so, you know, they have such joy in her life. And I just love that about her. And she was so real.
Yeah.
So that was a big impact. And then I just kind of continued to try and, you know, to follow the Lord as well as I could. You know, and then, you know, get married and you have children, and you're not able to get to maybe daily mass anymore. You know, you're distracted, whatever. But I always tried to do something. And, you know, and there was times definitely that I wasn't as attentive with prayer or whatever. And I, you know, and just kind of learning that no matter how busy I was, to offer up whatever I was doing as a prayer, you know, to get through whatever circumstances we might have, or, you know, problems.
Sure. And that's great. Great feedback. And I'm going to put you into some questions, some scenario based questions, as a mother of 11 and truly, you know, a grown woman, very experienced in motherhood and family life. So what is your opinion of the sleepover? You know, today we see a lot of kids saying, you know, I'd like to do a sleepover at my friend's house. Just curious about your opinion and Tom's opinion on sleepovers for your children.
So it has to be, we were always pretty strict about it, and we still are. And if they stay at a friend's house, it has to be a family that we know very, very well. And of course, that's no guarantee that it's going to be, you know, that there's not going to be somebody showing a movie that's not good or something, anything at all like that. So it's not often. And again, it's going to be a family that we know and trust, you know, very well. And of course, this is not going to be for the 10, 11 year old. This is going to be for, you know, the ones that maybe that are in high school, maybe they're 16, or my one daughter's 18, that they know. And I, you know, and that constant conversation with them, to know and to get to know their friends. So I think not only do you know the family, but these friends are at your home at different times. So you get to know the friends. You get to know more about them, what their thoughts are, what they're, you know, and you can kind of tell, you can kind of weed out the ones that you're like, oh, I really don't want them spending more time with them than I, you know, than they have to. But, and then, you know, so that's a big deal though. So it's not, it doesn't happen very often. It's going to be, you know, if it's, they're somewhere, my son was at a sporting event and it was running late and, you know, kind of short. So once I talked to the mom, yes, you can stay. But again, you know, they also go in knowing full well what we expect of them and what they know is right and wrong. So it's, I always say my kids are in the car with me. They're trapped because wherever we're driving to, it's not a lecture, but it's a constant conversation.
Right.
They can't go anywhere, so they have no choice but to listen. So, and I've been doing this for, you know, for so many years that it's a constant conversation, but to also listen to them, to see what they're thinking. And then you have an idea of, you know, you have an idea of what they're thinking, what they think is okay, or where did they hear this or where did they hear that? And to remind them of what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
You know, like I know, and I'll start off with being like, you know, like, well, you know, what's right and what's wrong. Like, you know, what we've taught you, you know, and just to kind of keep, you know, keep kind of refreshing their memory, you could say, you know,
right.
of what they need to do.
Okay, excellent, excellent. You know, this show is called Finding God in Prison, and we've done 29 years of service to 8 different prisons, 100 schools, and many recovery homes. And we've taught the WINGS program many times on the radio. We've also done the WINGS program inside prison walls and for people on probation, parole, and house arrest. And so one of the challenges that we see is incarcerated men who have children. We've had men who have had 27 children and who have never been there to support their kids because they were incarcerated. But over the years, going in and out, they accumulated 27 biological children. We've had men who had 10 kids with 8 different women, and all kinds of stories about the men. And so the pro-life message, we've been getting that out for about 20 years to the men, the great message of life and family life to help men to be better fathers, better husbands, and more responsible community servants as well. But the question I have for you, Christina, is what do you think are the attributes of a good father?
Yeah, that's so powerful because I'm very blessed. My father, fantastic man. I'm so blessed to have him with us. And he just was like, you know, if you were out somewhere and you were stuck somewhere, you just call dad. He's there. Like he just is going to be there all the time. And he's just an amazing, amazing guy. And, you know, give you the shirt off his back and just whatever he could do to really, to help you get to what, you know, help you realize like your goals and things. And always a hard worker, always worked 2-3 jobs if he had to. And, he wasn't born here. He was born, foreign born and he came here and worked, you know, he actually helped his family, put the down payment on their first home here. And, you know, again, just a great example. My husband is such a good father and it was different for him because he did come from a broken home. So he didn't have so much of that I was blessed to have. So he really had to learn that, you know, in a way. And really, I really think that, you know, a lot of prayer to St. Joseph helped him as well. But he did he really did appreciate my father too. And he could see that, you know, he was such a good role model and things. And just to, you know, but to be there for your children and to listen again, that's hard because we're sometimes I'm as bad as the kids. If I'm doing my work and I'm on my phone or, you know, and I'm just trying like, hey, let's put these phones away. Let's, you know, we really don't watch TV. So it's not a big issue, but just put the phones away, get the distractions because we need to listen to each other. And I think you know, as parents, if we can listen to see where they are and what, you know, what they're doing and, you know, sit down and have a family meal together, that's so powerful. And I think in the difference when the father goes to Mass, the children are usually going to follow. You know, the mom just is the one going to Mass. That doesn't always guarantee that the kids are going to continue as they get older. But to have that example as a father that goes to Mass and a father that prays as well, you know, if they see their father praying, I always hear that, like, you know, you hear so many, you can say famous Catholic authors, so just saying the witness of their own father. So that's a big deal, you know. So I think that if men could get that, and it's not easy. It's not easy being a mother or a father in today's age. It's just not easy. But to ask God for help, to ask God for strength, because, you know, even in my own work, I'm always like, yeah, this is your work, Lord. Like, I need your help. So the same thing at home, you know, Lord, this is your work. You know, you love them more than I do. You know, help me to make the right decision. We have one that's looking at colleges right now. I'm just like, Lord, just help us to help her, you know, because we want to make sure it's the right choice, you right. know. So it's all that is, that's a big deal. And I think, you know, fathers just definitely need to be there. They need to be there, not just physically, just that they're in the house, but they're listening, they're talking to them. You know, whether it's a sporting event they have to go to, a practice or something, just being a part of whatever, because the kids remember that, you know, they really do remember that. You know, my daughter would still talk. She's almost 30 years old. She's like, oh, remember when we were at that track meet and you were out in the rain? I'm like, yeah, I remember. You know, that was, you know, probably, you know, 15 years ago. So it's like they remember these things. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think that's important to really be there for them.
Excellent, Christina. Really great feedback, you know, and you speak from experience. And as a deacon in the church today, in the Roman Catholic Church in the Diocese of Trenton, and a grandfather of four grandchildren, we have three children, and one of the blessings I've received is being the grandparent. You know, we never went to school for that. You kind of learn it, you know, as you go along. And what would you say, you know, you're a new grandmother, and what do you say is the difference between a mother and a grandmother?
Yeah, so I love being a grandmother, and she's still really little, you know, but I just look forward to sharing with her, you know, as my mother shared and my mother-in-law shared with our children, just aspects of the faith, just family culture, things like that, because I was very blessed to grow up with, you know, both sets of grandparents, and what an impact they had, you know, on my life. And I want to be the same, you know, I want to just, I guess, just like, you know, share the faith too, because it's a different thing, because parents are always so busy, especially when they're little, just to take the time and to, you know, my mother taught my daughters, they were all in kindergarten, and by the time they got to kindergarten, they all knew their prayers. They could all recite their prayers. Like, it was because she would watch them when I worked. So she was great with them. So that was just something like, what a blessing. They never forget that, you know? And so just to be able to do that, you know, with a grandchild and hopefully many more. And just so that they, you know, to kind of be like, you know, to help them, guide them, you know, because again, you know, even the parents are not, they're so distracted with, you know, the social media and stuff too, but just to be, you know, to be a guide that they can count on, you, that they know, you know, this is the faith, you know, because, you know, my grandmother taught me this kind of thing. So right. I'm really hoping to be that kind of a person for my granddaughter.
Excellent. And that's wonderful. You know, it's just such a special blessing to be a grandparent, you know, from coaching baseball and soccer to going flying and doing all kinds of things. We had a birthday party for my oldest grandson recently, who turned 10. And I told him, you know, I wrote him a letter and I said, thanks for the last 10 years of great memories. And, you know, just so special. But I really, I'm so happy that you joined us today, because, you know, you have a great message. And one of the questions I'm going to ask you, we only have about 4 minutes left, is with regards to drugs and alcohol. What is your message to your own children to help them to avoid the tragedies that we see the youth getting into today?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is, it's so scary out there for everybody, for parents that are trying to educate their children and not even know everything that they're up against. But, you know, always to tell the kids just, you know, this is poison. It's poison. It's not going to bring you the joy. It's not going to be that. It's going to be something that takes you away. It's going to take your life away. And I would tell some of my older kids too, they'd have friends that we've seen so many tragedies, having so many kids over the years, you know, different things happen all these, you know, different years and you're just, oh, the tragedies are awful. And even after they graduate high school, you'll still hear somebody that was in high school with them. You're, oh, my goodness. And you think, oh, they came from a great family and what happened or whatever. And, you know, of course, I take everything I can to prayer first. I beg the Lord to protect them, you know, but just to tell them, just to see, you know, please just see what it is out there. See what it's doing to other people and know that this is like you. This is not something that's, oh, I have my free will and I can do whatever I want. You do have free will, but now you've become a slave. If you're addicted to anything, anything at all, you've become a slave to that. You're not free anymore. So why, you know, you've given up your freedom to become a slave to whatever addiction you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, get rid of it. You know, sometimes you need, medical help to do that, but you need to conquer this, and with God's help, I believe you can. You know, it's a difficult thing, but you know, if you have an addiction, ask for help. You know, ask for help. There's so many places that want to help.
Right.
You know, and ask God to help you, direct you to the right place. You know, but don't be a slave to these addictions.
Excellent, great message. And one of the things we've done a lot of is the WINGS program, both inside and outside prison walls and recovery homes and schools. And we help the kids to become leaders, like an aviation pilot, to become captains of their own lives, to embrace their manhood, their captainship, and to not be followers and going down the wrong path, which is so critical that friends, even family members, can lead people down the wrong road. And you know, they can encounter tragic situations that they never planned on, you know, getting into, but yet they're now in it and have, you know, records and all kinds of challenges with the law to undo. But we've only got another 30 seconds. Christine, I want to thank you for joining us today on our program. You've been a delightful guest, and I just want to say to you and your husband, Tom, and your family, happy Thanksgiving. We wish you the very best. And I'd like to have a follow-up interview with you maybe next week if we can do it, or the week after. But will you be open to that?
Absolutely. Thank you, Jai. I really do appreciate it, and this was my pleasure to be a part of this ministry. However I could help would be great.
Thank you. You're very welcome, and God bless you in your work for the pro-life movement, and first and foremost, with your own children and grandchildren. My friends, that's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day and happy Thanksgiving. God bless.